All right, we're beginning here on the top of Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, three lines down. Gufa, Gemara is going back to the discussion that we had at the end of yesterday's daf with regards to the halachot that were forgotten in the time of Moshe's death when Yoshua takes over the mantle of leadership. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, 3,000 halachot nishtachachu b'mei avlo shel Moshe. 3,000 halachot were forgotten at that time period during the avel of Moshe. Amru lo Yoshua, so the people beseeched Yoshua, sha'al. Ask Hashem. Probably couldn't be ask Hashem because we know that in terms of Nevi'im, only Moshe Rabbeinu had the type of access where he could ask whenever he wanted. Rather, they're asking him to ask the Urim V'Tumim, use some sort of mechanism to get an answer from Hashem with regard to these matters. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Lo B'Shamayim. It's no longer relegated to B'Shamayim, meaning that when Moshe Rabbeinu is here, then there's an interaction between Moshe and Shamayim that establishes the halacha, can clarify the halacha. But at this point, now it's been given to us, and it's no longer b'shamayim. Amru lo the Shmuel, sha'al. They said to Shmuel, Hanavi, can you ask Hashem, can you beseech Hashem about these issues that we were forgotten? Amru lahem, elo mitzvot, she'en hanavi rashay lechadesh davar me'ata. He's referencing to the pasuk all the way at the end of Vayikra and Perachav Zayin. It says, elo mitzvot, asher tziva Hashem et Moshe el b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. And the Gemara learns from that, that is the limited scope of the mitzvot that are given. No more new mitzvot can be created now that the Torah has been given mi Sinai. That is, she'en navi v'shay lechadesh davar me'ata. No navi can come along and be mechadesh anything in the Torah. That's why the Gemara will say, if we find something in one of the Nevi'im, where is that in the Torah? Or how did that come about before that navi brought it? Because then it would be a chidush, a yedei navi. And it's most prominent in the Gemara Megillah discussing the issue of Kriyat HaMegillah and the establishment of Purim, is how can a Navi or how can someone come along and create new halachot? That's why we can't beseech Hashem, we can't inquire of Hashem as to what to do, because all that it can be is that which was done before. Now the difference between Yoshua and Shmuel might be that Yoshua could have asked Hashem for this matter because he had learnt it from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's just that he had forgotten what it was. So forgetting, then it was just a reminder. To that, Yoshua responds, Lo b'shamayim hi. Even issues of shechecha are not in the purview of a shamayim. We can't request from a shamayim to help us remember something, even though technically I knew it beforehand. We can try to, through our pilpul, through our limo, to bring it back, but otherwise we can't do anything about it. Shmuel, on the other hand, he can't say that he had learnt it before. He never had heard it. It was a safek always. And that's why for him, it's the answer is, she'en navi rashay lechadesh davar me'ata. It's not something that we could say now because it would be a completely new halacha. Because if it wasn't said mi-Sinai, and it wasn't something that was brought mi-Sinai through the Mesorah, it's not something we can introduce at a later time. Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafka, av chatat shemetu ba'aleha nishtachacha b'mei avlo shel Moshe. Connecting into our Gemara, one of those halachot that was forgotten was the issue of chatat shemetu ba'aleha. The question as to which chataot are subject to the issue of metu ba'aleha, we'll see in the Gemara later on that the safek actually is a number of manifestations, including whether the chatot atzibur have any shaykhut to the chatot shemetot, as well as within even the yachid, chatot yachid, whether all five of them were really covered by this halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai. So that halacha was forgotten during the Evo Moshe Moshe. Amru le Pinchas, they said to Pinchas, Sha'al, why don't you ask about it? Amar lehem, he said back to them, Lo b'shamayim hi. Amru le Elazar, they asked Elazar, Sha'al, why don't you ask about it? Amar lehem, Elo mitzvot she'en navi reshay dechadesh tavar me'ata. Now in this latter series, they give the same answers that we saw from Yoshua and Shmuel. But in the latter series, it seems to be that this is particular to the Korbanot. And therefore, their questions relate to the Kohanim. That's why they asked Pinchas, and that's why they asked Elazar, because they were the ones that should have known about these halachot, because they were the Kohanim. They were the Kohen Gadol at the time. Obviously, Aaron has already passed away. And so that leaves Elazar and Pinchas as the two parties that could have possibly known the information. And they both answer that, we can't, first of all, lo b'shamayim hi, we can't request, we can't ask about it. And number two is, we can't be mechadesh a mitzvah. That means that we can't ask or then give the information over unless we have it b'misorah. And so that's why that halacha remained unknown or it wasn't something they were able to clarify. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Shash Niftar Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gan Eden, when Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to Gan Eden, the assumption was, of course, that Moshe Rabbeinu was passing away, is going to Gan Eden. Amar Lo Yoshua, Shal Mi Meni Kol Sfeikot Sheyesh Lecha. Ask me any things that you have any questions about, any doubts about. This is the time to ask me. Amar Lo, so Yoshua responds to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi, Klum Hanachticha Sha'achat, Balachti Namakom Acher. I've been by your side for all this time. I never left you. I was never out of the Beit Midrash. I was always present. Lo kach katva bi. Isn't this what's written about me? Umishrato Yoshua ben Nun, nar lo yamish mitoch ha'ol. That Yoshua was a young man who never left the Oel. Never left the Oel Moed, never left the Oel of Torah. And so he says, I was always learning by you, Moshe. I don't have anything that I don't know. Yad tashash kocho, shall the likely girsha should be Moshe. Moshe was felt weakened by that, or was upset by that. Benishtakach mimenu, mimenu means from Yoshua, shlosh meot halachot, 300 halachot, v'nodolo shva meot svekot. 700 svekot then came about. Vamdu kol Yisrael or go. And now everybody wanted to kill him. This seems to be somewhat differentiated from what we saw before, and that we'll discuss in a minute, because it seems to be that some of these halachot were learnt or were figured out, whereas the halachot that were mentioned before, it seems to be that they weren't resolved because of the individuals who are involved in the cases before. So now Moshe asks Yoshua to clarify anything before he passes away. Yoshua says, I've learnt everything from you. I know everything. I feel very confident in what you taught me. So Rashi claims over here that Moshe was bothered by that because his Talmud now was basically on the same level as he was. So Nitzta'er Moshe Yoshua Be'atzmo She'agodol Kemoto, that Yoshua was exactly on a plane or a level playing field with him because of the fact that he knew everything that Moshe knew, and he didn't feel like he was missing anything. He didn't feel like he was, in a sense, going to miss his Rebbe, or that if his Rebbe left, that there'd be anything that he couldn't do. And so that made Moshe upset, or made him feel weak. And the Midah, Keneged Midah, is that Yoshua is then weakened by Moshe's weakness, and therefore he forgets the Halachot. On the end, basically what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to happen, quote-unquote, ends up happening, which is Yoshua doesn't have the capacity to do what Moshe Rabbeinu did because he forgets 300 halachot and 700 svekot arise at that point in time. And now there's no way to solve the problem because he doesn't have the direct line to Hashem. He doesn't have the ability to clarify these issues. The reason Bnei Yisrael want to kill him here, as opposed to in the other scenarios that we spoke about, it's because it seems to be that it was Yoshua's negligence in this case, because he upset Moshe Rabbeinu. Had he been a little more vananav, a little more humble with regards to his conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu, this wouldn't have happened. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael feel like Yoshua is responsible for this problem. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lomar Lecha Yefshar. Hashem says to Yoshua, I can't tell you the answer to these questions because Lo B'Shamayimi, Lech V'Tordam B'Milchama. Take Bnei Yisrael to battle so that they forget about this and they won't bother you about this anymore. Shenemar, Vayi Achrei Mot Moshe, Eved Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, after Moshe dies, Hashem speaks to Yoshua, and they prepare to cross the Yarden. It's not clear here that it meant directly go into battle. It just means prepare them to cross the Yarden, start the process, move it along so that they don't dwell on this issue. You gotta move on from this, otherwise they're gonna be upset that you forgot these halachot. Be'matznitin Tano, in a braita we have, Elef u'shvameot kalin v'chamurim u'gzerat shavot v'diktukei sofrim nishtakachu b'mei evlo shel Moshe. During that period of time, 1,700 kal v'chomers, gzerat shavot, and diktukei sofrim were forgotten during that evil of Moshe. Rashi comments here as diktukei sofrim are from the word sfira, to count. All these things in the Mishnayot, where you say 15 of this, 5 of this, 3 of this, whenever the Mishnah does that, that's not because the Chachamim knew the halacha, they counted it up and then said there were 3, but rather that was part of the Mesorah, that there are 3 of this, there are 5 of this, there's 15 of this. All of those are Diktukei Sofrim, those are things that were passed along through the Mesorah, and these were forgotten. So we have here 3 different versions of what was forgotten. We had the first one, which was there were 3,000 halachot that were forgotten. We had the other, which is Yoshua forgot 300 halachot and 700 svekot arose. And now we have this last version, which is that there were 1,700 of these issues that arose after the time of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Afal Pikein Hechziran at Utniel Ben Kenaz Mitoch Pilpulo. Othniel ben Kenaz was successful at returning them through his learning, through his deep understanding, and his erudition. He was able to bring back those forgotten halachot. Now, why that is important to what I said before is because we saw the individuals who were asked before was Moshe Rabbeinu, Pinchas, Elazar. So all of those individuals live right at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, so it makes sense that you're asking them, and they don't know the halacha because this is pre-Othniel ben Kenaz. The problem is Shmuel. Shmuel, who lives post the time of Othniel ben Kenaz, is the first shofet of Israel after Yeshua passes away. And so why wouldn't Shmuel already have had those halachot if Othniel ben Kenaz returned them already? So that's why I was suggesting that these are different forgettings or different issues that are being forgotten. And therefore, there are some that Othniel ben Kenaz is successful at bringing back. There are others that are still problematic, even at the time of Shmuel. And that's why the people are asking Shmuel to help them out still, because they haven't clarified these issues even from the time of Othniel ben Kenaz. Now, the story of Othniel ben Kenaz is a story that's brought in two places in Navi. It's brought in the 15th parak in Yoshua, where we'll read the story from there quickly. And then it's also found in the first parak in Shoftim. The same story is repeated in both places. That might be what precipitates Chazal to darshan it in a more allegorical sense, because of the fact that it wasn't just written once, it's written twice. Or we're going to see that there are little details over there that change, and maybe that's what precipitated it. The previous parak actually discusses it a little bit in Yoshua, parak Yudalit, with regards to the distributions of the property, and when Kalev comes back to Yoshua and says to him, listen, I was one of the Meraglim. At the time that I went in, Hashem promised me certain property, and I was promised this area. I wanted the area of Hebron, which Hashem agreed to give to me. And the 15th parak discusses the areas of Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, and then as an addendum to that, it says, Ula Kalev ben Yefuneh, Natan Chelek betoch Bnei Yehuda. He gets his portion amongst the Bnei Yehuda. He is the Nasi of Yehuda, who was sent at the time of Raglim. El Pi Hashem Leoshua. So that was given by Hashem's word, by Yoshua to him. Ed Kiryat Arba, Avi Anak, he Hebron. They got Kiryat Arba, who was the father of those giants, and that is Hebron. Vayoresh Misham Kalev, et Shlosha Bnei Anak. Kalev removes the three giants from there, et Sheshai, vet Achiman, vet Tamai, Yilidei Anak, who were the sons or the children of the giant, the great giant. Vayal Misham, el Yoshvei Dvir. From there he leaves and goes to a place called Dvir. The shame Dvir Lefanim Kiryat Sefer. And the name of Dvir prior to that was Kiryat Sefer. Vayomer Kalev, Asher Yaked Kiryat Sefer Ulechada, Natati Lo Et Achsa Biti Liisha. Kalev says, whoever is successful at conquering Kiryat Sefer, I will give them my daughter Achsa as a wife. So he is seemingly unsuccessful at capturing Dvir. Therefore he asks for someone to come in or step up to do that. Vayil Kido Othniel Ben Kenaz Achi Kalev. Kalev's brother, Othniel ben Kenaz, conquers the area. As he promised, he gives his daughter, Achsa, to Othniel ben Kenaz, his brother, as a wife. So when she was coming, she convinces her husband, Othniel ben Kenaz, to ask from her father, a field. Now, it seems to be that he didn't follow through with this, or didn't do what she asked. And therefore, she herself ends up doing it. And it says, "Vatitznach malachamor." She lowered herself off the donkey. The word "vatitznach" in the modern-day Hebrew means to parachute. That's why they're known as tzanchanim. "Vatitznach malachamor." She lowered herself. She dropped herself off the donkey. "Vayomer la Kalev malach." Her father, Kalev, says, "What's going on? What do you need?" "Vatomer tnali bracha." Give me something that's of blessing. "Ki eretz hanegev nitatani." You gave me the area in the south. Venatatali gulot mayim. Can you give me something that has water? In essence, she was suggesting or saying that the property that was given to her through Othniel ben Kenaz, who conquered this area of Dvir, was a dry area. There was no water there. Can you give me some water? But iten la, he gave to her et gulot iliot, et gulot tachtiot, the upper water basin and the lower water basin. That's the end of the story. There's a similar story brought in Shoftim, and we'll read it a little later to capture one idea that is explained here in the Agadah. Now, one of the clear problems in the story which again might precipitate why the Chazal over here, the Garatah, spoke about it, is the fact that it calls Otniel ben Kenaz the brother of Kalev. Now, Kalev was already spoken about. It says, Ule Kalev ben Yifuneh, Natan Chelek betoch bnei Yehuda. So, if Kalev is the son of Yifuneh, and Otniel is the son of Kenaz, then they're obviously not brothers. So then, why is it calling him a brother? That is part of the issue that's raised here in Chazal, and we'll explain then through the Agadotah what we just read in the Psukim. It says here that Otniel ben Kenaz returned those halachot that were forgotten through his pilpul, Shenemar, Velama nikra shma Achsa. Why was his wife's name known as Achsa? The pierce over here is maybe Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shekol haroe ota koes al ishto. Anybody who saw her got angry at his wife. And Rashi explains, because she was so beautiful that she made every other woman look like a nobody compared to her beauty. And therefore she was called Achsa, which is the modern Hebrew word. Ichsa means something that's disgusting. So she made everything else look disgusting because of the fact that she was so beautiful. Others suggest it refers to her tzniut, that her tzniut was so great that she made other women look like nobodies compared to her tzniut. Vayi bevoa. So then we quote the pasuk also over here. Vayi bevoa. Vatisiteu nishom et avia sadeh. Vatitznach malachomor. My vatitznach. So what is the issue of vatitznach? Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar lo, machomor ze. Kevin she'en lo machal ba'avuso miyad so'ek. Just like this donkey, if he doesn't have food in his trough, he screams and he brays. Kach isha, kevin shala in la tfuah betoch beita, when there's no food in the house, miad soeket. She begins to scream, she gets upset about the fact that there's no food in the house. Batomer, so then she says, tna li bracha. Why don't you give me a bracha? Ki, eretz ha-negev nitatani. You gave me this place in the south. Bayit sheminugav mikol tova, a house that is dried out or empty of any goodness. Benatata li gulot mayim. Adam shein bo ela Torah bilvad. And you gave me something of water. You gave me somebody who only has Torah. Vayiten la et gulot iliot ved gulot tachtiot. And her father responds by giving her the upper and lower waters. So Amar la mi shedar elyonim v'tachtonim. The one who lives above and below, Yivakesh Mimenu Mizonot. Ask him for Mizonot. So now, the conversation here between Achsa and her father Kalev, the Gemara here interprets it, again, in an allegorical sense, or not in its literal sense. It sounds from the story here that she was worried about the property or the area was dried out, and therefore she's looking for water, and he gives her water sources. That's the way that it reads in Pashtut. The way that the Gemara is interpreting it now is that she's complaining about the fact that he gave her this big Talmud Chacham, and this Talmud Chacham only knows how to learn, doesn't know how to make a living. So how is she going to have anything to eat? And that's what it means, Metzitznach Me'al HaChamor. Just like the Chamor, when his trough is empty, he brays and he's upset. So too, a woman who's got a house that's empty because there's no one to support her, there's no one to provide Mizonot, she's going to be upset, meaning speaking about herself. You gave me gulot maim. You gave me a person that is kulo Torah. But that's great that he's kulo Torah. But what about me? That's good for him. But what's good for me? I'm not going to have anything. I'm where to live, anything to live off of. And I would like some possessions. I'd like to be, she could call her, I'm rich. But she wants to at least have sustenance here. So then Kalev says back to her, interesting answer, which is, you are speaking about the individual who has gulot aliyot. He knows kol razei haTorah, all the secrets of Torah, that which are above and that which are below, are revealed to him, and he is the one who can provide for you. So that could be in one of two ways. Either the same way that his brilliance has allowed him to succeed in Torah and know the razei haTorah, both elyonim and tachtonim, he will definitely also provide for you. And Rashi quotes from the Sukkim at the end of Mishlei, which is, Haita Kaniyot Socher. That's based on Chazal's interpretation that Eshet Chayil is speaking about the Torah, not about a woman of valor. Rashi, in his interpretation of Mishlei, interprets the whole Perek in that way. So Haita Kaniyot Socher, Sounds like this Talmud Chacham, this person who's steeped in Torah, will also have trade, will also have the ability to support themselves, and that they will have sustenance, and she can rely on the fact that those that are Osek b'Torah also are provided with sustenance. So that's one possible way to explain the answer that Kalev gave to Achsa. The other possibility is in the Rabbeinu Gershom, who says, Mi shirazei elyonim v'tachtonim gluim lo, mirov chachmato, from his great brilliance, velo dailach, od mevakeshet at mimeni mizonot. He goes, that's not enough for you? You want the guy who learns and makes a parnosa? Can't have both. So at least you got the guy who learns. So in one case, or at least the way Rashi is saying it, is that he's suggesting back to her that you got both. That he, through his great learning and great Torah scholarship, will also be provided mizonot, because that's what it says in Eshet Chayil. Haita ki aniyot socher. And therefore, he will be provided for, and so then you will live off that those provisions that he has because of his limud Torah. The way the Rabbeinu Gershom says it is, if you have a choice, you have to pick a Talmud Chacham and someone who provides mizonot, better to pick a Talmud Chacham. And she obviously wants both. She wants a Talmud Chacham and to be an Ashir, and she's making that request. According to Rashi, her father's responding that that's what you got. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, he says you can't have both, so better to have the one who's brilliant, that knows all the secrets above and secrets below, that he can provide for you. Now, part of that also might be driven by the words that are used here, Dvir and Kiryat Sefer, are interesting names, because it says there they went to conquer Dvir, which is known as Kiryat Sefer before that, which is a strange name for a place that's pre-Bnei Yisrael's entrance into Eretz Yisrael. Why was it known as Kiryat Sefer? That's why it makes sense to suggest that the Dvir and Kiryat Sefer are not literally places, but Dvir is Dvar Torah, or Dvarim Shel Torah, and Kiryat Sefer is that which was in the Sefer, meaning that which was from the Torah. And so that he goes and conquers Dvir, he's able to, through Divrei Torah, bring back that which was the Fanim in Kiryat Sefer, that which was in the Torah beforehand, or those halachot that were in the Torah beforehand. V'Kalev ben Kenazu, halo Kalev ben Yefunehu. This is the question that I pointed out before, which is, how are they brothers if you have Kalev ben Kenaz and Kalev ben Yefuneh? How could he be, Othniel ben Kenaz, how could he be the brother of Kalev ben Yefuneh? Because he's not known as Kalev ben Kenaz. His name is Kalev ben Kenaz. So my Yefuneh. So why was he known as Yefuneh? Shepana me'atzat miraglim. He turned away from the plot or the evil report that the miraglim were going to bring back. He and Yoshua Binun don't join or collude with the other miraglim. Vakati ben Kenazu. Wait a minute. Is he really Othniel ben Kenaz? Halo ben Chetronu. Isn't he Kalev ben Chetron? Dichtiv, because it says in Divrei Yamim, Kalev ben Chetron holid et Azuva. The Kalev ben Chetron, who the Gemara assumes is Kalev ben Yefuneh, gave birth to Azuva. Now the Gemara in Sota is much more detailed and goes through many more of these issues. And over there, the Gemara in Sota explains that Azuva was actually Miriam, that she had some sickness that nobody wanted to marry her, and then Kalev marries her and brings her back to life. So she was Azuva, and then he brings her back to life, and that's Kalev ben Yefuneh, who marries Miriam. Amar Rava, Rava's solution to the problem is Choge de Kenaz Hu. He was the stepson of Kenaz. What they're suggesting now is Kalev was born to Chetron. That's his real name, Kalev ben Chetron. Kalev ben Yefuneh is his quote-unquote nickname, because he's Pana Miatzat Miraglim. So that's a name that's a descriptive name, but not his real name. His real name is Kalev ben Chetron. Then how is he a brother with Othniel ben Kenaz? That's because his father passed away. Chetron passed away, and his mother remarried Kenaz. And when his mother married Kenaz, they had a child, Othniel. So they are half-brothers through their mother. They share a common mother, they're half-brothers. Or Kenaz is the stepfather of Kalev ben Yefuneh, because he brings him up. And that's why he is known as Kalev ben Yefuneh. There's a gear such as Dekanami, which says in Yoshua, in the previous parak, Kalev ben Yefuneh HaKenizi. So why is he known as Kalev ben Yefuneh HaKenizi? Because he was really the son of Yefuneh, or really Chetzron, but Kenizi, or Kenaz, brought him up, and therefore he's assigned or identified with Kenaz as well. but he's not known as Ben Kenaz because he wasn't biologically the Ben or the son of Kenaz. Betana, and we have another Braita. Hu Otniel, Hu Yavatz. His name is Otniel, his name is Yavatz. Umashimo, what's his real name? Yehuda Achi Shimon. It's Yehuda, the brother of Shimon. That's a interesting chazal. That fact that he's known as Yehuda Achi Shimon is actually maybe borne out by the story that's found in the beginning of Shoftim. Remember I said that in Yoshua Tedvav and in Shoftim Aleph, you have the same story. But interesting, over there in the story of Shoftim, it says the following. They come to ask from the seemingly the Urim Vitumim, or advice from Hashem as to who should go to battle first. And it says that Yehuda should go, Barosh. And then Yehuda tells his brother Shimon, why don't you come with my goral and let's go fight the Kenani together. And it goes through their exploits over there. What's interesting is then it says, Vayelech Yehuda el HaKenaniyo yeshev b'chevron, v'shem chevron lefanim kiryat arba, v'yaku et sheshai v'et achiman v'et talmai, v'yelech misham al yoshvei dvir, v'shem dvir lefanim kiryat sefer. So it's interesting that they go to conquer Kiryat Arba, and it says over there that it's Yehuda that conquered Kiryat Arba. Now, in the story in Yeshua, it's Kalev ben Yefuneh that conquers it. And then, the story about Vayomer Kalev, Ashayakaret Kiryat Sefer, Lekadav, Natak Lo et Achzabiti Lisha. What's interesting is that the conqueror of Kiryat Arba in Yeshua is Kalev ben Yefuneh. Over here, it's Yehuda. So that would have been a conflation of Kalev ben Yefuneh and Yehuda. Here the Gemara conflates and says that it's really Othniel. He was the one who conquered Kiryat Arba as well. And that might have been the reason that Kalev tries to encourage him to also conquer Dvir so that he finds a better place or more place or to expand that what he had gotten. So the Gemara says that Othniel and Yavatz and Yehuda are all the same person. This Yehuda Achi Shimon. Othniel, why is he called Othniel? Shano Kel, that God answered his prayers. Yavetz, Shia'atz V'ribetz Torah B'Yisrael, that he advised and spread the word of Torah through his Klal Yisrael. That's a veiled reference to what we saw before, that he was able through his pilpul to bring back all the halachot that were forgotten. And then his real name technically would have been Yehuda. Now the Gemara wants to know, Minalan Shano Kel. How do you know that God answered his pleas or answered his prayers? Dichtiv, because it is written, and this is found in Divrei Yamim Aleph Perk Dalet, where it says in Pasuk Yud, the Pasuk before is Vahi Yabetz Nichbad Me'achav. He was a more honorable or higher statured individual than his brothers. Bimo Karashmo Yabetz. And his mother called him Yabetz Lemark Yalarti Bootsev, because I gave birth to him, seems to be in difficulty or in sadness. And then it says Vayikra Yabetz Leluke Yisrael Lemark. Calls out to God, Imbarech Tivarcheni Birbita et Gvuli'i, if you give me a bracha and expound my boundaries. Vayita yadcha imi, and you are with me. Vasiti mir'ah levilti otzbi. Then I will stay away from evil, not to make do anything sad or unbecoming. Ve'elukim et ha'sheshel. And God responds in the affirmative to that which he asked. Now, it's hard to understand how Chazal gets the fact that Yabetz is also Otniel. The truth is that in the Sukkim, it's very hard to say that because subsequent to that statement of Yabetz, it says there, three psukim later, Uvnei Knaz, Otniel v'sarayah, Uvnei Otniel ta'chatat. So Otniel is only mentioned later in the psukim there, and this seems to have come before that. And then later on again, it says, Uvnei Kalev ben Yefune, Iru, Allah, V'nam, Uvnei Allah, Ukenaz. That's even more problematic, which is that it seems to be that Kenaz was a descendant or an offspring of Kalev ben Yefune. So it makes all of this difficult, but Chazal, because of the fact that they had some Masorah, believed that they were all the same individual, or that through this they're able to project, give us an understanding or information by combining all of them. There are those that want to suggest that later on in Divrei Yamim that the Yabetz is made to sound like he is one of the early Shoftim of Bnei Yisrael, and that's why it says Vayi Abetz Nichbad Me'achav, that he was of a higher stature or greater than his brother. That goes to what we said here, that Kalev ben Yefuneh was the brother of Otniel ben Kenaz, and Otniel ben Kenaz exceeds his brother, his older brother, Kalev ben Yefuneh, who was one of the Meraglim. But here, Otniel ben Kenaz becomes the Shofet, and he's also the one who returned all these halachot that were forgotten that Kalev couldn't do, so that he was greater than his brother. So to that request that's made there, Chazal break it down, and they have two versions of what the request was. The first of which is, Im barech tevaracheni, if you bless me, b'Torah, the learning of Torah, erudition in Torah, birbita et gvuli, and you expand my boundaries, b'talmidim, with students, v'ita yadcha imi, and your hand be with me, shelo ishtakach talmudi milibi, so that I won't forget that which I have learned, v'asita mira'a, she is damluni re'im kamoti, that I should find peers that are, v'asita mira'a, that you will bring me re'im, friends, peers that are like me, so that they will help me to stay strong in limud haTorah. Devilti atzbi, shelo yisgaveni yetzerara milishnot. My yetzerara will not get the better of me to stop me from learning. Im atah oseh kein mutav. Hashem, if you respond in the affirmative, great. Vim lav, hareini holech lenisisi lishaol. If not, I'm going to go in my depression, or I'm going to go in a bad way to my grave. So he's basically saying that I'm distraught now, and he's beseeching Hashem to help him with the limud haTorah. And he says, if you respond in the affirmative, I'll be excited, things will be great. If not, then I'm going to go in my despondency to the grave. Yad, right away, vayaveh elukim et asher sha'al. Hashem responds in the affirmative to him, and he brings that about. And that seems to be Chazal now referencing back to what they said before, that through his erudition, his learning, he was able to bring back all those halachot. That's because Hashem responded to his tefillah, that's what he really wanted. And Hashem did give him what he had asked for. You have a similar thing that we could say, and this is from Psukim that we find in Mishlei, Perichavte Pasuk Yud Gimel, Rash v'ish techachim. Someone who's impoverished or poor, v'ish techachim is a middle-of-the-road type of guy, nifgashu. They met up. Meir einei shnehem Hashem. Hashem enlightens both of them. Now the Gemara explains what that means. B'sha shetamid olich itzel rabo. When a student goes to his Rebbe, v'omer lo lamdeini Torah, teach me Torah. Im elamdo meir einei shnehem Hashem. If he teaches him Torah, Hashem enlightens both of them. V'im lav, if not, then we have this other pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Chavet, pasuk bet, where it says, Ashir v'rash nifgashu. It's similar lashon of rash v'ish techachim nifgashu. Here it's Ashir v'rash nifgashu. Oseh kulam Hashem. Hashem is the one who makes all of them. Mi shasau chacham lazeh, oseh oto tipesh. The one, meaning Hashem, who made this individual a chacham, now makes him into a fool. Tipesh lazeh, the one he made as a fool originally, oseh oto chacham. He makes him into a wise individual. Zo Mishnat Rabbi Natan. That's the version of the Tana Rabbi Natan. Gemara here is explaining that if you have an individual who's poor, poor means that he doesn't have Torah. So he goes to an Ish Techachim, which is a middle-of-the-road guy, which as Rashi explains here, he's someone who has a couple of starim, he knows. So he's already has the capacity to teach, but he still needs to learn from others. He's not at that level where he knows enough just to be teaching. He has to teach and learn at the same time. Now, if the individual acquiesced to teach the other party Torah, then Hashem enlightens both of them. That means that the student will then know what his Rebbe knows, and the Rebbe will also grow to the point where he'll know even more than he knows now. On the other hand, if he refuses, then it's the equivalent of Ashir Virash. The poor person and the wealthy individual who the poor person approaches the wealthy individual to provide for him, and the wealthy individual refuses to give. It says in the Pasuk, Oseh Kulam Hashem. Hashem is the one who puts them in that position. A similar idea or genre to that which is in Tefillat Chana, that Hashem is Maleh Umorit. Hashem can change things in a moment, can switch. Those that are high up, bring them down, and those that are down, he can bring them up. And same thing over here. Oseh Kulam Hashem. Hashem makes the person Ashir, makes the person Rosh. And therefore, if the Ashir refuses to take care of the Rosh, Hashem is basically going to create trading places. And they're going to switch, and the Rosh is going to become wealthy, and the Ashir is going to become poor. Or in the words of the Torah, the Rebbe who knew some will know nothing now, or he'll never get beyond that. And the student who wanted to learn is going to go past him, or be him, and take over his position as the teacher. That's the version that Rabbi Natan brings. And that's a similar idea to that which Otniel ben Kenaz was asking for from Hashem, that Hashem should provide him many talmidim, peers to talk in Torah, and so that he would continue to learn Torah and be able to teach Torah, and therefore his giving of the Torah would only serve to help or extend his chokhmah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, he learns it this way. Im barech tevarcheni bepiria urivya, with many children. Rebeita et gvuli bebanim ubebanot, with children, boys, girls, males, females. Baita yadcha imi, and your hand is with me. Bemasa umatan, in my business dealings. Va asita meirati, shlo yehe bi michush rosh, umichush aznaim, umichush einaim. So they don't have ailments of the head, ailments of the ears, ailments of the eyes. Basically that physical health, and shouldn't fall ill. Divilti atzabi, shlo yizgaveni yitzara milishnot, that the yitzara doesn't take me away from learning. Imatau sekein mutav, if you do that, great. Bimlav, hareni holech be nisisi lishol, then I'll go in my despondency to the grave. Vayavei, right away, Hashem responds, Vayavei Elohim et asher sha'al. Hashem brings him that which he asked. So now, this might relate to the two versions we saw before with regards to what the answer is when Achsa comes to her father Kalev and asks about Oniel ben Kenaz, how am I going to have a living? How is he going to provide for me? So we saw one answer was Rashi says, well, he'll learn. And his learning, he'll also be a business dealer, or he will be successful as well. As Rabbeinu Gershom says, isn't learning Torah enough? So the two versions of this tefillah might also relate to that. In both cases, he says that the Yetzer Hara should not get the better of me, so that I should stop learning. But in one case, his entire request was about Torah. In the other version, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's version is, his request is that he have children, that he have a parnosah, that he have all these things, and he should also learn, or he shouldn't forget his learning. So that might be the two answers that we saw before from Kalev to his daughter Achsa, might be related to these two versions of what they think the tefillah of Otniel ben Kenaz was. Was he davening just to be a Talmid Chacham? Was he davening to be a Talmid Chacham that's also successful? And so maybe that relates to that. And then again, the Gemara brings Kiyotze Bedavar Tomer, similar to what we just saw before in Mishlei Rash. Ve'ish techachim nifgishu, me'irinei shnehem Hashem, shashani olich etzel bala bayit. When the poor person comes to the wealthier individual, Mark Parnaseni, give me some livelihood, provide for me, imifarnaso mutav. If he provides for him, great. Vim lav, ashivarash nifgashu, the wealthy one and the poor one have met, oseh kulam Hashem. Hashem is the one who creates all of them or provides for all of them. Misha so ashir, lezeh oseh oto ani. The one, meaning Hashem, who made him into a wealthy individual, will now make him poor. Ani lezeh oseh oto ashir. And the one who made him ani, meaning Hashem, who made the ani, will turn him into a wealthy person, will provide for him. So again, here it's on the more gashmiut level. The same concept is being purveyed here, as we saw before on the spiritual level. Not that they're mutually exclusive. They could probably coexist. But the idea being that if you have what to give, then you're obligated to give. If you don't give, then Hashem will take away your capacity to give because of the fact that he only gave you that so that you could give to others. And if you refuse to give to others, then you're going to lose that which you have. And there's going to be, in a sense, a trading of places that those that were the needy are going to become the ones who are the providers. And those that were the providers will become the needy. And from here you see that even when you have Torah, and even when you're a conveyor, purveyor of Torah, teacher of Torah, you still need Siyata Dishmaya. And that's what Otniel ben Kenaz was asking for, was Siyata Dishmaya, that when he's teaching, that he should also get the benefit of that teaching, also increasing his knowledge, as we saw from these Psukim and Mishlei, that Hashem helps both of them, both the Rebbe and the Talmid, when the Rebbe conveys that which he has to give to the Talmid. Okay, now the Gemara jumps back to the Mishnah. In discussing Rabbi Shimon's position in the Mishnah with regards to the chataot of the tzibur. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says, Mematzinu bevlad chatat, ubtmurat chatat, ubchatat shemetu baleha. By those three types of chataot, dvarim amurim biyachid velo bitzibur, they only apply to the yachid, not to the tzibur. Av shekipru baleha, vavrashnata, fact that it's balimur nitchaper, and the year elapsed, they're also only said about the Yachid and not the Tzibur. Now we're going to bring a Braita that is more detailed and explicates on Rabbi Shimon's position, which is Tan Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Amer, Chamesh Chataot Metot. There are five Chataot that are subject to being Kotzino to the Kippah, the Mitah, that are subject to being put to death if they are failed to be used as a Korban. Vlad Chatat, that is the offspring of a Chatat. Tmurat Chatat, a Chatat someone tried to exchange onto a Chulin animal. Chatat Shemetu Balea, Chatat, whose owner, the person who's going to bring the Chatat, passed away before they brought the korban. Chatat shekipru bala, the chatat was lost, and the balim attained kapara while it was lost. We discussed in yesterday's daf when exactly it was found, before or after the kapara happened. And chatat sheibra shanata, a chatat is supposed to be in its first year of life, the korban that you're bringing. If it already elapsed, now it's aged out. All of those are chamesh chataot hametot. Those are subject to be put to death. Iyata yocholomar vlad chatat b'tzibur. You can't speak about a vlad chatat in the tzibur. Pishen chatat nikeva b'tzibur. Because the chatat tzibur is never a female. That's what we saw before in the previous Mishnah, that all the korbanot tzibur are zicharim and not nikevot. And if that's the case, you're never going to have an offspring of a chatat tzibur, because all the chatot tzibur are si'irim, and they're male animals. By yachid, the chatat is brought from a kivsah si'ira. It's most cases, it's a female, not a male. But that means that there's never a manifestation of lat chatat b'korbanot tzibur. Biyata yechol omar tmurat chatat b'tzibur, because again, like we learned at the end of the previous parak, the fish ain't tzibur osim tmura. Only yachidim can create tmura. The tzibur does not create tmura, or korbanat tzibur is not subject to tmura. V'yata yechol omar chatat shemetu baleha b'tzibur. You also can't say that you have a chatat whose owner passed away with regards to the tzibur. V'fi she'en tzibur metim, as we saw in yesterday's daf, the tzibur never dies. That's because the tzibur is a corporate entity. Just like a corporate entity has its own existence, and its members are just the members of that corporate entity, but they can be changed out or swapped out. It doesn't change the fact that the corporate entity exists. So same thing with Klal Yisrael. There's corporate entity Klal Yisrael. Doesn't matter who's there, who's passed away, who's not there. The corporate entity Klal Yisrael never disappears. That's differentiated from a korban shutafim, a korban of partners, whereby each partner is an identifiable owner of the item. They are shared owners of the item. As opposed to a corporation, where the corporation is the entity or the owner, and then people have a portion in the corporate entity of Klal Yisrael. That doesn't make you partners, it makes you stakeholder in the corporate entity. By partnerships, you have ownership in it, and therefore you could have the possibility of meitu with regards to shutafim, even though it's impossible to have a chatat shutafim. That's because you can only bring a chatat either for the tzibur or for an individual. You can't have, even if two people are chayav chataot, they can't share in a chatat to have a korban a chatat. Each individual needs to bring their own chatat. Truthfully, there is no concept of chatat a shutafim, but if there was, it's possible there that you could have something where the shutafim would die, and that would be impactful to the chatat. On the other hand, when it comes to corporate entity Klal Yisrael, the tzibur never dies. And since the tzibur never dies, you can't have a chatat shemetu balea b'tzibur. So now, shekipru balim, sheivra shnata, the fact that the tzibur successfully attained kapara through a different korban, or that the korban chatat aged out, those are possible that they could have application by the tzibur. What Rabbi Shimon says is, lo matzino, there we don't know what they are. Yocho yeheinu a goat, ben b'yachid, ben b'tzibur. So since there, maybe they should be applicable both by yachid and tzibur. When we say the chatot metot, so not only will the five chatot hametot have application by the yachidim, there will also be two of those chatot that have application by the tzibur. Three of them are irrelevant to the tzibur. Maybe the other two should have the same din as the chatot yachid. Amart, so this is where Rabbi Shimon's statement in the Mishnah comes about. Yilameit satum min mifurash. Let's learn out from those that we don't know, from those that we do know. Mamifurash biyachid, just like the three that we know for sure only apply to the yachid, not to the tzibur. Therefore, the halacha is only applicable to the yachid, below the tzibur, not in the tzibur. Af shekipru balev shivresh nata, where it's the satum, we don't know what's the din there. There too, biyachid very mamurim below the tzibur. It should also only have application with the yachid and not the tzibur. So basically, you have five chataot hametot. Three out of them are only relevant by the yachid, not by the tzibur. Therefore, the other two, it makes sense to say they have application by the yachid and not by the tzibur. To which the Gemara says, "V'chei danim efshar mishi efshar." How can you learn from the three to the two? The three are impossible to be by the tzibur. That's why they only apply by the yachid. It's not because they apply to the yachid and not the tzibur. They don't apply to the tzibur because it's not relevant by the tzibur. So how can you then learn out from that which is efshar to Efshar, by the case by Kipru Balea and Avrash Nata, which has equal application by Yachid and Tzibur, maybe there it would have application by the Tzibur, and not just by the Yachid. That's a very difficult limud. So now we're going to have two answers in the Gemara. It seems from the flow of the Gemara and the way that Rashi explains it, the Bali HaTosfot explained it, the Beno Gershom explained it, we have two parties that are going to explain Rabbi Shimon's position in order to get out of this problem of how is he learning something Efshar, Mi Efshar. The first of which is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The second of which is Rabbi Natan. The reason to say that is because Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish is an Amora and Rabbi Natan is a Tano. So if we were to bring down their positions, you would have assumed that you bring the position of Rabbi Natan first and then Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish second because of the hierarchy, that you bring the Tana before you bring the Amora. The fact that it brings Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish before Rabbi Natan is indicative of the fact that they must be explaining somebody else's opinion, and therefore the order of their statements isn't as important anymore because they're not giving opinions of their own, they're just explaining an opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore the Gemara brings them in that order of Rabbi Shimon Lakish and Rabbi Natan because Rabbi Shimon Lakish seems to be less of a chidush or less deviated from that which Rabbi Shimon seems to have said. And so they bring them in that order, but the order is less important if you say that. That's number one. Number two is that we find that Rabbi Shimon Lakish, even though he explains over here, that's not necessarily his opinion. We find Rabbi Lakish in other places in Shas where he disagrees with what he says here. So that would be a problem if we think that Rabbi Lakish has an independent opinion, because then how could he disagree in other places? If we think that he's explaining Rabbi Shimon, then his opinion in other places is his personal opinion, is what he thinks the Lakish is. Over here, he's just explaining Rabbi Shimon. So for both of those reasons, it seems to make sense to suggest that the statements of Rabbi Shimon Lakish and Rabbi Natan are explaining Rabbi Shimon's position. Rashi brings, in the end, an alternate, which seems to be that they're answering a different question. And then as an aside, it also happens to deal with the issue here. But the more mainstream way of reading it is this view that they're explaining Rabbi Shimon's position with regards to why this is not Danim Efshar Mi'i Efshar. Now the next line in the Gemara also is taken out by the Shita Mikubetzet, which is Rabbi Shimon Bechad Makom Gamir Lehu. Rabbi Shimon learned them in one place. Now, the truth is that in the end, that's exactly what we're going to say. What Reish Lakish and what Rabbi Natan are saying is exactly what's said here. So whether it's said explicitly here in the Gemara, or whether that's what we're going to understand from Rabbi Shimon Lakish and Rabbi Natan, that's the answer in the end. The answer in the end is Rabbi Shimon believes they're only learnt by one place. That is Amar Reish Lakish, Arba'a Natnu Lehen, Ve'emidum Al Chamesh. There are five Chatot Hametot. Only four of them are Alach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai that need to be put to death. One of them has a din of Yireh Achi Steiv. Goes out to graze until it gets a mum in it. Only little problem is they couldn't remember which one that was. So you have four Achatot Hametot and a fifth one that is Yireh Achi Steiv. But they don't know which one is the fifth one. That's what they forgot. So now they decided, okay, all five L'Chumra are going to be the Mita. That way we don't have a problem. All five of them are the Mita. So now from that, V'i Sakadatcha B'Tzibur, if you think that the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai has relevance by the Tzibur, Hanach Mi'itnehu B'Tzibur. These, do they apply by the Tzibur? Ela Korchach Yilamei Tzatum Min HaMifurash. Therefore, it has to be that we learn the Satum Min HaMifurash. What the Gemara is saying here, or what Reish Lakish is suggesting is, the fact that the structure of the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai was for the Mita, one, Le Ri'iyah Achi Steiv. The only possible scenario in which you have Arba the Mita is by a Chatat Yachid. But the Chatat Tzibur, at maximum, you can have two that are the Mita. That's Kipru Ba'aleha and Avra Shnata. Other than that, there's no possibility of having Metot by the Tzibur. And since the Chatota Metot were given as a unit, and this is as Rashi explains it and tells about the Rabbeinu Gershom, they weren't given one at a time. It says, this is the Mita, this is the Mita, this is the Mita. No, there's a block. These four are the Mita. So these four are the Mita. This one is Yireh Achi Steiv. So it becomes clear here that the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai was said about the Achid and not about the Tzibur. Because the Tzibur doesn't have a block of four Chatot that could be Metot. Therefore, that statement is not relevant by the Chatot HaTzibur. And that's what it means, Yilamed Satum Min HaMifurash, which is that which is Mifurash, the four that are the Mita, so they clearly are said by the Chatot HaYachid because they don't apply. You can't have four by the Tzibur. Therefore, the one that is Yireh Achi Steiv, and then we switched it to Mita, it also has to be said by the Yachid, because it's only relevant. All of this is only relevant by the korbanot of chatat yachid. It's not relevant by the chatot at sibur. And so that's why the Gemara, or what Rabbi Shimon said before, is that we learn the satum from a farash, which is that the one we don't know with regards to which it was said mitah, they'll learn from the mifurash. Like the block of four can only apply to yachid, so too that fifth din can only apply, or should only apply to the yachid, and therefore that chamesh chatot ametot will only have application by the korbanot chatat of a yachid. That's what Rabbi Shimon was saying. Rabbi Natan omer, achat nitna lehen, ve'midua chamesh. It's the opposite way around from what Rish Lakish said, which is only one of the five chataot are the mitah. The other four are yireh ad sheyistaev. But they didn't know which was the one and which was the four. So they made all five of them the mitah. Vilechze behai sidra gimire luhu obi yachid obi tzibur. Why don't you look and see in which section they were put up? So what the Gemara is asking over here, this is an interjection by the Gemara in the middle of the statement of Rabbi Natan. This isn't part of Rabbi Natan's statement. Rabbi Natan is trying to deal with Rabbi Shimon's position. The Gemara interjects and says, why did they have to then make all five of them the mitah? They knew one of them was the mitah, and now they're making all five of them mitah. They should have at least assessed the situation and said, were those that were the mitah, were they ones that applied both by the tzibur and the yachid? Or were they owned by the chata'ot that are only applicable by the yachid? Or in essence, what the Gemara is saying is that there's a subdivision you can make within the chatot yachid. There's a category of chatot yachid that are applicable also by the tzibur, which is kipru bale and shabra shnata. And there's a grouping of chatot yachid that only have application by the yachid, not by the tzibur. And so the Gemara says, okay, you forgot which was which, but you should at least know which category it was in. Was it in the category of those that apply also to the tzibur? Was it in the category of those that do not apply to the tzibur? If that's the case, then the safek should only be between two, or the safek should be only between three of them. It shouldn't be all five of them that are in the safek over here. At least look at that subdivision and say, okay, if it's in the subdivision that has shaykhut to the tzibur, then the two that we need to have, say, the mitah by a korban chatat yachid are kipru baleh and avrashnata. If it's in the grouping that is not shayachet by the tzibur, then the chatot yachid, that's the mitah, should be those three, which is meitu baleha, murat chatat, and vlad chatat. Why do you have to say all five of them are the mitah? The Gemara answers what you would have expected, shtei shechiyot shachachu. They forgot both of those issues. They forgot which one was the mitah, and they also forgot which category or subcategory it was in. So that's why they had to make all five of them the mitah. Now, the kashluhu. Now the question is, isak adatcha bitzibur, hanach mi itnahu bitzibur. So now this goes back to Rabbi Natan's statement and says, the problem is, if you think that these apply to the tzibur, then how could you have all of these by the tzibur? Elish mamino, it must be, yilameid satum ve'amifurash. Ma bifurash biyachid, just like the explicit one is by the yachid, velo bitzibur, and doesn't apply to the tzibur. Afa satum biyachid velo bitzibur. So too, the ones that have dual application, I mean, they could apply to the tzibur and the yachid, they will only apply to the yachid. Now, Rabbi Natan's proof is just the opposite of the proof of Rabbi Ish Lakish. By Ish Lakish, you have a unit of four that are the mitah. In Rabbi Natan's view, there's a unit of four that are the riyat, that go out to yireh ad sheyistaev. Once again, that's impossible by the tzibur. The maximum amount of animals that could go out to graze and get a moment in them in the tzibur are two. Chatat shekipru ba'aleha and chatat sheavrashnata. Those are only two that are applicable by the tzibur. The fact that you have a block of four that go out to yireh ad sheyistaev means it must be speaking about the korban ha-yachid. If it's speaking about the korban ha-yachid, and since that's the case, since the four block of yireh ad sheyistaevu only could be said about the yachid, then that which we know by Mifurash, the one that is the mitah, was by the yachid, so too the other four that we say now that are also the mitah only should have application by the korban chatat of the yachid. Or in essence, going back to the first statement that was in parentheses at the beginning of the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon b'chad makom gamir luhu. He learned them in one place. I mean, there's a mesora that a block of four come together. And a block of four is only relevant by chatot ha-yachid. It's not relevant by chatot ha-tzibor. Therefore, whatever we do know has to apply by the chatot ha-yachid. And anything we don't know, the question will also only apply by the chatot ha-yachid, because all halacha was only said with regards to chatot ha-yachid, because it's not relevant the way it's phrased or framed, the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, because it uses the number four by the tzibur. And therefore, the halacha Moshe Mitzinai must only apply by the yachid or the korbanot chatot of the yachid. That's the view of Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with him, could disagree on different levels. Either he could say that, yes, just like Reish Lakish, Rabbi Natan say over here, there were four that were the Riyah, or four the Mitah, but they were given separately. They weren't given as a block. It just says, this Chatat goes the Mitah. This Chatat also goes the Mitah. This also goes the Mitah. By separating them out into separate halachot, there's a possibility that one of them applies by the Yachid only, and one of them applies by the Yachid and the Tzibur, because they're not an entity, they're not a unit. And therefore, you could disagree from that perspective, or he could argue on Rabbi Shimon and say the halacha Mishim Sinai included those of Chatot of the Tzibur as well, not just the Chatot of Yachid, also included the Chatot of the Tzibur. So Rabbi Yehuda could argue on Rabbi Shimon either one of those two ways, and that's why he has a differentiated opinion in the previous Mishnah. Alright, next Mishnah. Chomer v'kodashim mibitmura. Kodashim, meaning primary hekdesh. When you're magdish an animal, sometimes that has certain aspects that are not applicable by tmura, and the vice versa. Shibitmura mibitkodashim. Sometimes tmura has the capacity to do things that regular hekdesh can't. Shakodashim osim tmura. Because primary hekdesh, as we learned previously, they can create tmura. From hekdesh, you can have tmura. Vein tmura osim tmura. But something that's already tmura is a derivative of hekdesh, it can't create another derivative of tmura, which is who? Utmurato yakodesh. That's who? Oset tmura. Vein tmurato oset tmura. Atzibur vashutafim makdishim. The community at large, the tzibur as a whole, Klal Yisrael, and the shutafim and partners can be makdishin animal. Avalo mimirim. As we were again, we learned previously from the Lashon that's used lo yamir velo yachlifenu, which is lashon yachid and not lashon rabim, so that it only applies by the yachid and not to the tzibur, the shutafim, or because of meiser beima by Rabbi Shimon that it becomes the paradigmatic korban, which is a korban of yachid. For either of those reasons, it doesn't apply to the tzibur and the shutafim. So the tzibur and the shutafim can be makdish, but they can't create tmura. Umakdishim ubarim ve'evarim, and you can be makdish a fetus, and you can be makdish single limbs. This is at least according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw before. Aval lo memirim. Even he agrees that you can't be memir because it says behema bivema, that only whole animals can do this, not parts of animals, or not that which is internal to the animal, not the fetus, not the evarim. Or possibly it could be from Rabbi Shimon's drasha that the Maiser Behema is the paradigmatic type of animal that is subjected to Mura. And just like by Maiser Behema, Ibarim and Ubarim are not subject to Maiser Behema because they can't be Kol Asher Yavor Tachad HaShavet. They can't walk out, just like a Treifa can't walk out. So since that's the case, they aren't Nitpas Bit Mura, as opposed to Hekdesh, which by being Matish and Aver and Ubar, it is either successful at conveying that dusha to the point where it spreads to the entirety of the animal, which is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, or according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, it's only in a case where it's an Eiver Shanishama Tluyabo. Chomer bitmura mibkodoshim. Now the other side of the coin, which is tmura, has certain chumrot over kodoshim. Dusha halal balat mum kavua. So either the girsa should be shahat mura, which would make sense over here, or you have to say that chomer bitmura mibkodoshim, Shakdusha of the tmura is chala ala balat mum kavua. Ben would say the chulin. Igazeis v'liavet. Kodoshim only have application by animals that are tmimim. So you magdish an animal that's tamim, and then it gets a mum in it, you redeem it, but you can only redeem it to eat it. It still has an iser giza of shearing, an iser abodah. It can only be utilized in a certain manner afterwards, so it's otherwise known as psulei amukdashim. Now then, if you try to be makdish an animal that has a mum in it before you're makdish it, then you're going to be makdish it the perek habayit. That means that it's only for its monetary kedusha, it's not kedusha d'guf. Therefore, when you redeem the animal, it goes out to chulin the gamrei. It's totally chulin afterwards. You can do gizah, avodah, you can do whatever you want with the animal after you redeem it, because it never attained kedusha d'guf, because it had a mum in it beforehand. That is not true by tmura. Tmura has the capacity to devolve upon both a tamim and a balat mum. That's what Rabbi Tov Tobirah teaches you, that a balat mum is subject to tmura. And that kedusha is kedusha da guf. It's not just kedusha tamim, it has full-fledged kedusha to the point where if you redeem it, it'll become psulei mukdashim and it'll still be asur, be gizah, be avodah. So that's a chumra by tmura that you don't have by primary hekdesh, when you're makdish an item, you can only be makdish something that has a mumenet, the kedushat tamim, not kedushat gufo, which isn't true by tmura, where you can even create kedushat gufo on a bal mum. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, asa shogeg kemezid bitmura. We learned that before with the iya kodesh, that shogeg is kemezid by tmura. Below asa shogeg kemezid bimuktashim. That's not true by hekdesh. Hekdesh ta'ut, lo shma hekdesh. It doesn't work. By tmura, because of the riboy of iya, even if it was done unintentionally, it still works. So here you have another chumra by tmura. Rabbi Elazar Omer, hakil ayim, vatrefa, vayotze dofen, vatumtum androginus, lokdoshim, vlomakdishim. So all of these items, which are problematic for the korbanot, we have miutim in the psukim and vayikra aleph with regards to the ula, that teach us that a mixed breed, a kilayim, a trefa, where obviously it's a visible trefa, yotze dofen, an animal is born through a C-section, not through the birth canal, tumtum androginus, animals whose gender is unclear or have both genders, lokdoshim, they can't become kodesh, below maktishim, and they can't convey that kedusha forward. We already discussed that back on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph with regards to how exactly that takes place, and the Gemara will delve into it once again as to how you can have it. If they can never become kodesh, then how is it possible that they can convey kedusha? And so I have to explain that within that sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Gemara on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.